Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our new listeners to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or when the world is going to end, but we will get you ready to face that if it does happen. We will talk about first aid, CPR, tornadoes, earthquakes, how to prepare a family emergency plan, how to develop an emergency communication plan, how to hunt, how to fish, how to make a fire. This show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and various guests from around the world who will share their information and their experiences with us. My credentials? They're pretty extensive, with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, a firefighter, an area safety manager, a safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA field councils, and I am your host for the show. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this program or find on hesafety.org or the radio website at csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to get you to think about things and get you to do your own research. Talk with your professional legal and medical advisors. Because in the end, it's all common sense anyway, which you have. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the show. Common Sense Preparedness website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information about subjects than we can give you in a single broadcast. The website is free, so come on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can also listen or download previous shows via the website. I do ask you to sign up, though. Reason being, it's just so I can judge how well the show is doing. Also, please, show some love to our sponsors. They're the ones that keep the show and the websites free of charge. At the end of the day, it all comes down to this: how many lives we save. It is sad to hear of any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune into Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness with your host, my grandpa, Tim Howard.
Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness Weekly Situation Report for the week of March 7th, 2012. Our environmental report: our radiation monitor is looking good. Our highest background radiations are located in Philadelphia, Phoenix, and Utah. Our river report showing some minor flooding in the Evansville, Indiana area. Air quality is looking good. Our drought report: Texas and Georgia still reporting extreme drought conditions. Now, going into our food safety report, Tyson Prepared Foods is recalling cooked pizza toppings produced January 12, 2012, EST is 623, due to the presence of undeclared pork. The recalled product was sold to food service institutions nationwide via a distributor. It was not sold to retail grocery stores. The FDA has got a consumer product safety alert out, warning customers not to use skin creams, beauty and antiseptic soaps, or lotions that may contain mercury. The products are marked as skin lighteners, anti-aging treatment that removes age spots, freckles, blemishes, wrinkles, according to the report. Now, we have an outbreak alert update from the Famical Dairy in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. It has confirmed the growth of 80 confirmed cases, according to the Food Safety News. Illnesses have been confirmed in four states: Pennsylvania 70, Maryland 5, West Virginia 3, and New Jersey 2. I do believe it's an increase by 3 new patients. Remember, food safety is up to you. Cook your food to over 140 degrees and keep your food under 40 degrees in the refrigerator. Also, when you're dining out, check the restaurant's last inspection
from the local health board. You can find links on our website at csp.hesafety.org to all state health departments and local health departments. Now, our medical report, we have a respiratory illness in Maryland. It's a fatal cluster, and the CDC is requesting more information. Now, that outbreak has killed a family of four so far. We also have an outbreak of whooping cough, pertussis in North Carolina, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Iowa, and Washington State. The influenza report still remains low in the U.S. The influenza rate is currently at 1.9, which is a constant from last week's 1.9. The national base average is 2.4, so we're still below our national base average. Missouri, Oklahoma, and Alabama now are reporting high levels of flu activity. Common Sense Preparedness would like to remind you that the best way to prevent the flu is to wash your hands as often as possible. Please check our webpage out for more information on flu prevention and treatments. Now, our seismic report, there has been 7,483 recordable seismic events in the past 30 days. New England region looks good, with nothing to report. The Mid-Atlantic region had, Virginia had a 1.7. Caribbean, Dominican Republic had a 4.8. Midwest region had nothing to report. The New Madrid Fault Line had a moderate active week, with Missouri having a 1.8. Yellowstone region, Montana had a 2.1. Rocky Mountain region, Colorado had a 3.3. The Northwest region, Oregon had a 2.8. And the Ring of Fire, California had a 4.0, Alaska 5.6, and Hawaii with a 2.9. Now, our volcanic report, the Cleveland volcano in the Aleutian chain of Alaska, which was at a orange watch, has erupted. It is a small eruption. However, cloud coverage in the area is interfering with us, our confirmation of how big the eruption is. But it has erupted. We still have the Kanga volcano under a yellow advisory. The Kilauea volcano is under an orange watch. And the Pagan volcano is under a yellow advisory. Now, our solar weather report, this week we were hit with a CME, which has raised our levels up to extreme levels. The solar flare that accompanied the CME was an X5 solar flare. It did interfere with some satellite communications and television. Our K index is at a 6 storm. Our X-class flares is at 50%. And our geometric storms is over 80% for the remainder of the week. Now, the near-Earth objects, we have 1,287 near-Earth objects in Earth's orbit. Two new NEOs have popped up on the screen that's going to come real close to Earth, and that's on March 10th, NEO 2012 DH54 should come within 3.3 lunar distance of Earth, measuring 13 meters. Again, on March 2nd, NEO 2012 DW60 should come within 2.5 lunar distance of the Earth, measuring in at 23 meters. And also, April 13th, NEO 2007 HV4 should come within 4.8 lunar distance of Earth and weighing in at 8 meters. Well, that about does it for this week's Common Sense Preparedness Situation Report. If you would like any more information on it, any of these subject matters in this report, you can find them on csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to Common Sense Preparedness Radio Talk Show and follow us at the web at csp.hesafety.org.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program right here on bbsradio.com. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operations Team. Preparing one person, one community, and one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support for the healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org. Your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com.
I want to take a few minutes and I want to talk a little bit about tornadoes. As I record this, I am recording in Louisville, Kentucky, an area where it was hit with 91 tornadoes last week. I was able to assist with some of the recovery operations, and I've seen the damage firsthand. The loss of life, I believe, was 41 people killed, and the aftermath of what tornadoes do. When you are facing a tornado, you must remember one thing. It's only going to take moments to make life and death decisions. If you live in a mobile home or a modular home, you must evacuate your house. You have a better chance out in the open than you do in that modular home. The safest place in any tornado is underground, a storm cellar, or some type of underground shelter. A tornado will change your life. And we've all heard this week about the family that ran into a mobile home and was killed. A family of five, I believe, where the little baby girl was just taken off life support this week. The only one to survive. But the problem was they were in a mobile home. Now, what is a tornado? A tornado is a violent windstorm characterized by a twisted funnel-shaped cloud. It's spawned by thunderstorms and sometimes as a result of a hurricane and produced when cold air overrides a layer of warm air, forcing the warm air to rise rapidly. The damage from a tornado is a result of high wind velocity and wind-blown debris. Now, tornado season is usually March to August, although tornadoes can happen any time of the year. They tend to occur in the afternoons and evenings. Over 80% of all tornadoes strike between noon and midnight. When a tornado is coming, you only have a very limited amount of time to make life or death decisions. Advanced planning and quick response are the keys to surviving a tornado. They are one of the greatest weather threats the U.S. faces every year, but knowing what to do during a tornado will increase your chances of survival. Not to 100%, but it will give you your best chance of surviving it if you plan ahead. Tornadoes spawn from powerful thunderstorms and can cause death and devastation to neighborhoods in seconds, sometimes with little warning. As of last week's tornado storms, it devastated whole towns. A tornado appears as a rotating funnel-shaped cloud that extends from the thunderstorm to the ground with whirling winds that can reach 300 miles an hour.
Damaged paths can be in excess of 1 mile wide to 50 miles long. And a lot of problems with the tornado is not just the wind, it's the debris that's in there. Take a 2x4 board and whirl that at 300 miles an hour and see what damage it can do. Now, tornadoes can occur in any state, but are more frequently in the Midwest, Southeast, and Southwest. The states of Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, South Dakota, and Texas are at the greatest risk in the country. Now, how do you prepare for a tornado? Well, one is by creating a family emergency plan on what to do during a tornado. Conduct tornado drills each tornado seasons. Highly recommended in February and March, and then again in April. Designate an area in the house that you can use as your shelter, and practice having everyone in the family go there in response to a tornado threat or a drill. Sit down with your family members and discuss the difference between a tornado watch and a tornado warning. Always have disaster supplies on hand. And one of the things I saw this week was a lot of people did not have disaster supplies on hand. And what disaster supplies they did have was destroyed in the tornado. So you need to have a cache outside your home for tornado supplies. Now that cache being outside your home, it could be in a garage or somewhere on your property, in a storage bin. But the idea here is you want to have dual caches, one inside the home and one outside the home. In case the house is destroyed during the tornado, you'll still have your reserves. Now, in that cache, you want to put in things like food, extra clothing, valuable documents, and so on. Also, in your family emergency plan, you want to develop what they call an emergency communication plan. Now, in case family members are separated from each other during a tornado, which is a real possibility nowadays, you want to have a plan of getting everybody back together. Where are you going to meet? Ask an out-of-state relative to serve as a family contact point. Also, during this communication plan, when you're enacting a communication plan, base it on text messaging and internet access. Because after a tornado, you will still have internet access, more than likely, or cell phones to where you can text message people. Use the out-of-state contact as a reference to text message this person. Now, the reason for text messages and internet usage, it's shorter bandwidth. So you can get more messages out compared to one voice phone call. Now, what are the differences are between a tornado watch and a tornado warning? A tornado watch is issued by the National Weather Service when weather conditions are such that a tornado is likely to develop. This is the time to remind family members where the safest places in the house is and listen to the radio and television for further developments. If your family members are not together, it's a good time to contact them and say, hey, look, we're under a tornado watch. Where are we going to meet? We're going to meet at this point, point A. How are you going to get home? You know their routes in case anything goes wrong. Now, a tornado warning is issued by the Weather Service when a tornado has been sighted or indicated by radar. So a tornado warning means you have tornadoes in the area. The danger is very serious and everyone should get into a safe place. Turn on a battery-operated radio and wait for further instructions. During a tornado warning, if you live in a mobile home, it is not a very safe place. You need to evacuate that home. Take shelter in a building with a strong foundation. If shelter is not available and you're outside, lie in a ditch or a low-lying area a safe distance away from that mobile home. You have a better chance out in a ditch than you do in that mobile home. Now, some danger signs with tornadoes. You need to learn the danger signs. Large hail
Tornadoes are spawned from powerful thunderstorms, and the most powerful thunderstorms produce large hail. So if you see large hail, you know a tornado is in the area. Tornadoes frequently emerge from near the hail-producing portion of the storm. It's the calm before a storm. Before a tornado hits, the wind may even die down, and the air will become very still. Also, a cloud of debris in the sky is a danger sign of a tornado. An approaching cloud of debris can mark the location of a tornado, even if the funnel cloud is not visible. Obviously, a funnel cloud. If you see a funnel cloud, it's a danger sign. A visible rotating extension of the cloud base is a sign that a tornado may develop or a tornado is evident at that location. A tornado is evident when one or more of the clouds turn greenish in color. It's a phenomenon caused by hail, and a dark funnel cloud descends onto the ground. Also, you will probably hear a roaring noise. The high winds of a tornado can cause a roar that is often compared to the sound of a freight train. Now, these are all signs of a tornado. If you see any of these signs or you feel any of these signs, it's time to seek shelter. Now, during a tornado, listen carefully to the radio and TV newscasts. Check carefully what is happening in the sky around you. If you see clouds in the shape of a funnel, call immediately the police or the weather station to warn them of this information. If possible, seek shelter in the basement. Like I said, underground is the best place to be. If you have time, make sure your windows are partly open to the opposite side of the tornado cloud. Otherwise, the pressure from the wind will make them blow off in all directions. Now, if you can move out of the path of a tornado, do so. But when you move, do so by going at right angles from the path of the tornado and move fast. Tornadoes have been known to jump all over the place. If you have no means of escape and you're outside, then throw yourself down into any ditch or other kind of terrain depression. If you're in a public building, the basement is your best bet. Flee from any floor above ground into the basement. Find a place with next to the thick walls and ride out the storm. If you're in a house, the basement is the deepest ground and it is the safest. If you live in an area where those tornadoes are frequently hit, it is wise to reinforce your basement or build a shelter underground. If there's no basement in the house, then go to the lowest floor and pull a sofa or a heavy piece of furniture over you. And the sofa should be somewhere in the middle of the house. A mobile home is the poorest shelter and can be wrecked easily. Better to get out and hide in a ditch than in a mobile home. Now, if you're in your vehicle, never try to outdrive a tornado in a car or truck. Tornadoes can change directions quickly and can lift up your car and truck and toss it in the air many, many hundreds of feet. Get out of the car immediately and take shelter in a nearby building if there is time to get indoors. If there's no time to get indoors, get out of the car and lie in a ditch or a low-lying area away from the vehicle. Be aware of the potential for flooding. Now, after a tornado has gone by, here's some things you need to do. 1. Help the injured and trapped people. Give first aid when appropriate. Don't try and move the serious injured unless it's their immediate danger of further injury. Call for help. Tune into your radio or television to get the latest emergency information. Stay out of damaged buildings. Return home only when the authorities say it's safe to do so. Use the telephone for emergency calls only, otherwise text or email. Once you're in the home, clean up spilled medicines, bleaches, or gasoline or other flammable liquids immediately. Leave the building if you smell natural gas or chemical fumes. Now, for insurance purposes, take pictures of the damage both to the house and to its contents. Remember to help your neighbors who may require special assistance, infants, the elderly, and people with disabilities. Now, when you're checking your home or you're inspecting your home utilities for damage, check for gas leaks first. If you smell natural gas or you hear a blowing or a hissing noise, open a window, leave the building quickly.
turn off the gas at the outside main valve, and then call the gas company from a neighbor's home. If you turn off the gas for any reason, it must be turned on, back on, by a professional. The next thing you want to go to is your electrical system, and check your electrical system for damage, frayed wires, sparks, wires out of the wall, or if you smell hot insulation, turn off the electricity at the main fuse box. However, if you have to go in the water to do so, do not do it. Also, if you turn off the electricity for any reason, it has to be turned on by an electrician who has checked the house for damage. Check your water and sewer lines for damages. If you suspect sewer lines are damaged, avoid using the toilets and call a plumber. Then, the last thing you want to check is your water pipes. If they are damaged, you need to shut off your water. Now, one of the things you want to know about a tornado is the scale of a tornado and what it means. Everyone's heard the F scale, F1, F2s, but what do they really mean? And what can you expect from it? Well, in F0, the tornado is at a speed of 40 to 72 miles an hour. You can expect light damage to the home. An F1 is 73 miles to 112 miles per hour. Then you're going to have moderate damage to the home. An F2 is 113 to 157 miles per hour. Considerable damage to the home. An F3, 158 miles per hour to 206 miles per hour, you're going to have severe damage. Now an F4, and a lot of the 91 tornadoes last week were F4s. It's 207 to 260 miles an hour. That is going to be devastating damage to the community. An F5 is 261 miles per hour to 318 miles per hour. Incredible devastating damage. Now, there is more than F5. F6 to F12 is 319 miles per hour plus. Now, we've never had an F6 tornado before, but it is on the scale. And that will wipe out towns. When you get past F4, there is not much you can do for the damage, and the best laid plans will go awry. So, survivability after an F4, your chances of surviving become less. That's just a fact of life.
You're listening to the HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by patriotmusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons from patriotmusic.com. I'm proud to announce the release of a new CD of original rock that celebrates individual liberty and the principles that made our republic great. Come give a listen to the award-winning music. There are free videos, radio, TV, and podcast interviews, and an album cover I promise you'll be thinking about for years. And don't forget to check out the Take Action section where you can share your ideas on how to put America back on track. PatriotMusic.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operations Team. Preparing one person, one community, and one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support for the healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hotean.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Also follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Now here's the newest song from Matt Fitzgibbons at PatriotMusic.com, titled The Rain Is Coming, off his newest album called Entitled.
Seems like a thousand years since we had real fears. but the old ones won't forget. These broken levee walls had a few close calls, but they haven't fallen yet. And you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming. All your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When the sun beats down and it bakes the ground, and you watch the rich land die. Such a vicious drought, even hope's in doubt. But there are no clouds in the sky. But you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming. All your days and all your nights, it brings the sun on you. When you feel the first drop fall, when it kisses your skin, the storm will begin to bring with it promise of change. When you hear the thunder roll, lightning's begun, the photos will come to wash out the things that remain.
Talk about some emergency planning. Emergency planning is nothing more than realizing something could happen that would put you in an emergency situation, and with that in mind, taking steps to increase your chances of survival. Thus, emergency planning means preparation. Since the beginning of the 21st century, we have experienced terrorist acts, natural disasters, conventional biological and chemical warfare, man-made disasters, and pandemics. In today's world, you must depend on your own supplies and knowledge to protect your family and not the government. In a time of crisis, the government will be either overwhelmed or incompetent to protect you. You must be prepared to survive on your own for at least 7 days during any emergency situation. There you go, I used the word survival. Listen, the word survivalist conjures up images of subverts, homegrown terrorists, neo-Nazis, and Grizzly Adam types. In reality, a survivalist are people who plan and train for disasters. They intend to survive any disaster that may happen. Think about it this way. In the old days, before 1940, everyone knew how to rely on themselves. They were all survivalists. So what really is a survivalist? A survivalist is an optimist. He who fails to prepare for the night fails to prepare for the dawn. By nature, a survivalist is an optimist. A fireman is a fireman not because he believes everything will burn, but because he believes it all can be saved. Doctors don't believe in death, they believe in life. And a survivalist is not a survivalist because he believes everything must be destroyed and everyone must die. He believes that life and freedom can be saved, if we are prepared. A fireman does not start fires, a doctor does not make disease, and a survivalist does not make disasters. Crime, disease, war, fire, flood, periodic financial collapse, and famine are the results of nature and the nature of man, and unfortunately are not within the power of anyone on this earth to prevent. We all know the sun will set each day, leaving us in darkness, and we all know that warm summers will give way to cold winters, and that we can't do nothing to keep the sun from setting or the cold winds from coming, does that make us a pessimist? So then why is a survivalist called a pessimist? When he makes ready to face events that are just as much part of history and nature as the setting of the sun and the changing of the seasons. Emergency preparation should be regarded as a social obligation, one that every individual owes to his family, his community, and his nation. So the reality is this. Survivalists are optimists, self-reliant individuals who cannot help but see the importance of preparing for the worst possible events, while hoping sincerely that they won't happen. Today's survivalist is an asset to his community and to the world and should be proud to be called a 21st century survivalist. There you go. I like that. 21st century survivalist. Are you prepared to be a 21st century survivalist? Well, then let's get you prepared. There are three main steps you must immediately take. Make a plan, build a kit, and be informed. The importance of planning. Detailed prior planning is essential in any potential emergency situation. Including survival consideration in planning will enhance your chances of survival if an emergency occurs. Even the smallest emergency kit, if properly prepared, is invaluable when faced with an emergency. Emergency planning considerations. Prior to developing an emergency plan, there are several things you must research and consider. 1. Find out what the possible threats are in your local area. Review FEMA 196 book for the following information in your area. FEMA 196 you can download off of hesafety.org or off the FEMA website, fema.gov. Alright, once you got the book, review for the following information in your local area. I believe the book is broken down by state. So you just go to your state and then review where you live for these types of disasters. Extreme weather. What kind of extreme weather do you have in your area? Are you prone to floods? How many dams are in your local area? Where's the closest dam? What type of natural disasters happen in your area? Do you have any nuclear power plants in your area? What about hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, or earthquakes? After you reviewed for information from FEMA 196 on those subject matters, you want to go ahead and get on the internet and research terrorist targets in your area. Your area should be about 350-mile radius from your home. What are the major sports stadiums in the area? Major cities with a population over 1 million. Any military installations, industrial complexes, major tourist spots, airports, flight paths, airport approach lanes, and railways. These are all potential terrorist targets. Also, for emergency planning considerations, you want to take a look at how much money do you have to spend on supplies. Trust me, you don't need to take out a second mortgage to get all the equipment you need. But if you purchase at least one or two items per payday, you will be surprised in how fast things gather. You're also going to want to find out what your community warning signals are. What do they sound like? And what are you expected to do when you hear them? Contact your county emergency management office for this information. Also learn about the community evacuation routes. I know in some areas in this country, you have pre-planned evacuation routes out of town. If you have them in your area, find out what they are. Learn about the disaster plan at work, your schools, daycare centers, and other places where your family spends a lot of time. If you have an emergency and your family is not together, you need to know what they're going to be doing in order to pick up your children and your family members, or plan for that. If you have animals, learn how to take care of them during the disasters. Animals and pets can be very useful in an emergency situation. Assess your abilities. Now, let's be honest here. You're only going to hurt yourself if you're not. You must note your shortcomings now in order to develop a training program that will best benefit you and your family. I know for me, mine was medical, so I learned Red Cross, CPR, and first aid, and became proficient in that. Assess your current household supplies. What does your family use during everyday normal life? What kind of meats do you cook? Your dry food storage? Refrigerator items, ketchup, mustard, garlic, you know, stuff like that. In an emergency, they are going to be your first supplies that you need to consume. So you need to know what you're going to have on hand. create a list of people who will be in your group. Yes, we're all going to form into groups. Your family. This list will usually narrow down to just your family in your immediate area. The list must be short due to the fact that you will have to plan for each and every person in that group and store supplies for each member. Now, if you have an aunt, an uncle really close to the local area, you want to prepare for them also. Gather everybody together and talk about preparing your emergency response plan. Your local emergency response plan. Meet with your family and discuss what type of disasters could happen in your area and what to do. Discuss the steps of evacuation. Where are you guys going to meet at? Choose two places to meet family members. One, outside your house if members are not at home. And two, outside your neighborhood, 30 to 50 miles away, in case you can't get to your home. It could be a city park, a church, a school, playground, or a campsite. Identify and plot out an evacuation route to a safe location. Example would be a family member's home. Remember, if on foot, travel is about a half a mile per hour or 10 miles per day. If you're by car, plan for 35 miles per hour or 350 miles per day. You will be running into traffic. Identify evacuation points and visit them every 3 to 5 years. Do a family camping trip up there. Also, for your home, identify and locate your home utility shutoff connections. Locate the following: electrical fuse box and the electric meter. The fuse box is usually located inside the house. The electrical meter is usually outside. Also, gas main valves. Usually outside the house where the gas enters the home. Where is your water main? Usually two places, one inside the home and one outside the home. You know, where the city reads your water meter at. Teach family members how to safely shut off utilities. Proper sequence of shutting off your utilities should be number one, electrical, then gas, and then water. Be prepared. Attach a wrench to a gas meter so you do not need to go looking for a wrench at the time of an emergency. Have the proper tool attached near the water main to turn that one off. Alright, the next thing you want to do in your emergency planning process is inspect your home. How safe is your home? Before any disaster, you should inspect your home and eliminate any potential hazards. In an emergency, ordinary items in your home can cause injury and damage. Anything that can move, fall, break, or cause a fire is a potential hazard. You need to evaluate that.
You're listening to AC Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program, right here on BBSRadio.com.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Help Operations Team. Preparing one person, one community, and one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support for the healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hotean.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com. All right, welcome back to Common Sense Preparedness. Let's go ahead and talk about an emergency kit. Emergency kits have a lot of names associated with them. Ready kits, good bags, which means get out of Dodge quick, bug out bags, bug out kits, etc. You know, it doesn't really matter what you call them, but you must have one prepared. Assemble supplies you might need in an evacuation. Store them in an easy-to-carry container, such as a backpack or a duffel bag. You know, I love seeing Hollywood portray an evacuation with people carrying suitcases. Come on, think about it. It's time to evacuate. Are you going to grab that bulky, oversized suitcase? I can't see anybody lugging a suitcase more than 200 feet. I know me. If he gets to 200 feet, even with the wheels on that suitcase, it would be on the ground, and I'd be telling everyone, get what you need, and everything else stays. Sorry, you should have planned better. You should have multiple kits, a kit for each of your automobiles and trucks, and one for each member of the group. Get children involved. Children love to pack their own kits. It makes it personal to them. Now, granted, you have to monitor what they pack. But remember, a certain amount of toys is necessary in an emergency situation for the child. It's a way for them to relax and de-stress. Something that's familiar to them. One or two of their favorite toys works wonders in an emergency situation. The best thing to consider here is that they're the ones that have to carry their own bags, and let them know that. And ask them a question. Do you really want to lug that Wii system around with you? Hopefully they'll say no. But you can also guide them into that. Before we get into the supply list, I want to take this opportunity to express to you that I've done a lot of research into supply lists, and I have realized they're all strictly suggestions. Everyone has their own opinion on what they think you should need. It means that everyone has a different idea. The main point here is that you must make your own decisions based on your group's needs and the location you are at. However, here is HE Safety list of items to pack and store. One, you're definitely going to need a supply of water. Count on 1 gallon per person per day. Now, this water will be used for hygiene, drinking, and sanitation. Store water in sealed, unbreakable containers. Identify the storage date and replace it every 6 months. A supply of non-perishable package or canned foods, and a non-electric can opener. I can't count how many times I've gone into the field with my emergency supplies and get out there and realize I forgot the can opener. Make sure you have that. Have a change of clothing, rain gear, and sturdy shoes. Blankets and sleeping bags. Don't worry about pillows. Your extra clothing will make an excellent emergency pillow. Now, if you really want to spoil yourself, there is inflatable pillows out there in the market. They are light and easy to carry. I know I got two in my backpack. Also, you're going to need a first aid kit and prescription medication. If you haven't taken a first aid course yet, take a first aid manual. They are kind of bulky to carry. But you need to know how to use that first aid kit. And you need to be familiar with what's in that first aid kit. Also, you're going to need an extra pair of eyeglasses. And I know for myself, if I lose my eyeglasses, I'm blind, so I need an extra pair. A solar power or hand crank radio and flashlight. You're also going to need some credit cards and cash. Now, let's not get crazy on the cash. In an emergency situation, people are going to get funky, and you can lose your cash real quick. Also, an extra set of car keys. The car is going to be invaluable during an emergency situation for places to stay, shelter, power, stuff like that. You always want to have an extra set to where you can always get into that car. Now, here's a new one. A thumb drive or an external hard drive. And they contain copies of important documentations. Your wills, home deeds, marriage license, birth certificates, divorce decrees. A list of family doctors, special medical devices such as pacemakers, style and serial number, and your financial records. One of the lessons we learned in Katrina
was it was very difficult for people to identify what property they owned without their deeds. If you have a photocopy or a scanned copy on a thumb drive, you can easily access that documentation. There will be computers available, so you can always access that. Also, I know in my kit I have a laptop, so I have my own access. You're also going to want special items for infants, elderly, or disabled family members. Does he need a walker? You have a walker. Diapers, formula. Playing cards. You must have a deck of playing cards for those times of your relaxation and get away from things. Refocus your mind. Some type of books to read and pass some time. Now, what I recommend is you get electronic copies of e-books. You can put them on your thumb drive and your external hard drive, and they're easy to carry. And this way it gives you some time and a variety of choices. Also, write in utensils and notepads. People find documenting what they're going through as a way of coping. So that is very important. Write in utensils and notepads. Also, a good tent for sleeping in. I recommend a two-person tent for each individual. They're cheap and easy to carry. Plus, if one fails, you can always bunk up with somebody. A mess kit. You need to know how. You have to have utensils to eat your food with. Toothbrushes. Include baking soda or salt to brush with. And don't forget dental floss. A good pocket knife. Basic sewing kit, needle and thread. And a handful of disposable lighters and matches. They're easy to carry and they are invaluable. There are so much more items to consider to list here in the broadcast. So what I'm recommending is you go to hesafety.org for more details and ideas. We'll be updating that list every time something changes or we get a new idea. And like I said before, it is a suggestion, not gospel. You need to make your own decisions. But we will give you suggestions and lists of what you need to look at, and you make your own decisions.
Thank you for tuning in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program. We may be found at the web at csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness.
Using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Teach lessons to your daughters and sons, to fear the government that fears your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. They don't feel safe if you are armed. You take on control is using both hands.
Using both hands.